T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A luxury. I don't think the Golden State Warriors need DeMarcus Cousins anywhere near 100%. And with all due respect to his skill set, I don't think they need him, period, to win another title. That's how deep they are. How important for Tim Roy is the integration of DeMarcus Cousins into this side as it applies to winning a championship in 2019?
Well, I think Akeem's going to be very important because, there's two things that he gives the Warriors they didn't have before. Size, number one. It's a big body down there, and I still think, you know, he's still easing his way. And I don't mean that he's doing it, but I think it's his body's kind of, you know, readjusting to a new normal and trying to figure out what it can and cannot do, and that's going to take time. You know, I look at a guy like, and it's different, they're different body types, but a guy like Rudy Gay. Okay, he looks a lot different to me this year than he did the previous year coming off of his injury. And so, to me, I think there are better days ahead for DeMarcus that way. But yeah, he gives him size, and he also gives him a guy that can get to the free throw line. You know, the only other player they really have that can get you to the line is Kevin Durant. And so having that other guy that can get the other team into a penalty situation, I think that's a little something the Warriors can use to their advantage simply because they have three outstanding free throw shooters in their starting lineup, and they have good ones dotted throughout the rest of the lineup.
Tim, I catch myself saying a few times there's nobody in the West that can take the Warriors to 7 games like the Rockets did last year, and I see the Thunder, you know, add Markieff Morris. I'm watching Paul George just play relaxed on both sides of the ball. Russell allowing that to happen. They got, you know, a big front line. Do I need to respect the Thunder in a possible playoff scenario if the Warriors were to see them a bit more?
Yeah, I think so, because they have something that a lot of teams don't have, and that's a lockdown type, you know, defense. Their defense has been really good this year, and Paul George is a star. You know, I try not to throw that around too much, but he's a star. He can get it done, and he plays on both sides of the ball, and I think he gives them a real, you know, second go-to along with Westbrook. And like Westbrook is very good, you know, with steals. And so I think that when you add those two in, you know, the fact that they're playing great defense this year and the fact that they have Paul George, you know, I think they're a team you have to respect. You know, they're like, what, third in the league in defensive rating. They've got a good home court advantage, and they also have another guy that I think is underrated, and that is Stephen Adams. I think he's a real underrated player and does a lot of things that, like, guys like Zaza Pachulia and Andrew Bogut did for the Warriors. Adams is that guy for the Thunder.
Talking to Tim Roy, voice of the Golden State Warriors. Warriors will be back in action on 95.7 The Game tomorrow night. Sacramento Kings in the house. Basketball is coming back. Let me ask you this, Tim. The Sacramento Kings tomorrow rolling into town. They're jostling for a playoff spot. When I'm thinking of potential first-round matchups, to me, I would love to see the Sacramento Kings. It would hype up that NorCal basketball rivalry, and I just think the Kings are one of those teams on the rise, and it would just make for such a fun series. And they've played two pretty tough games against the Warriors this year.
They have. They've played all three tough games against the Warriors this year. And you know, I was talking to the longtime voice of the Kings, Gary Gerald, about this last time I saw him. And if we could get this done, it would be so cool for Northern California basketball. It's never happened. They've never been in the same playoff run. They've never been, you know, good at the same time. And so I think it would be great for fans. And I think, you know, they have an opportunity. I think their schedule is comparable to what the Clippers and the Lakers have left on their cards, and San Antonio is only a game ahead of the Clippers. They might have the toughest schedule left. The problem with the Kings' schedule is they got the Lakers behind them. And I went through the schedules the other day just for fun, just to see what it looks like. And again, this is a given. Say, you know, we're accepting the fact that the Warriors would finish one. Okay, well, let's just put that out there. You know, no offense to Denver, but I think if the Warriors take care of business, they will be the one seed. And so I looked at the schedule, and I've had these games I call super tough games, games where the team is playing somebody that's obviously better than they are. And the Lakers have a like seven of their super tough games remaining are all at home. They only have two or three left on the road. So that could give them a little bit of an advantage, say, over the Clippers and the Kings and the Spurs. So it's going to be interesting to watch how the bottom part of the bracket in the West ends up.
Hey, Tim, I wanted to get your take on this. We walk into the studio this morning, and there's a report that the NBA, the ratings are down across the board compared to, you know, the last few years. Shocked me. I don't even know how to compartmentalize that information yet, but when you hear that, can you describe what goes, how you process that information when you hear that?
A little surprised, but can I make a joke?
Go ahead. You're good at it.
See, you're funny.
I'm telling you, man. This is the effective players only. I'm telling you, you need to have a play-by-play
guy. What
That's, right.
You know? That's what we said. That's what we said, Tim.
Those games are not watchable. Can't watch it.
And all you hear is the ball dribbling and they're talking about college or whatever. I'm like, no, this is wrong. I need the Tim Roy on the call.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on here, too. And I think that we're seeing a little bit of, you know, the fact that a lot of kids don't watch games. They don't watch a game start to finish. They watch, you know, snippets, or they'll watch a highlight, or they'll, you know, they come in and out off of their phone. And so I think that's part of it, I think, is we're looking at a generation. You know, baseball's numbers are way down because of the fact that kids aren't going to sit and invest in 3 hours into a game. They just won't do it anymore. And so I think it's going to be a little natural. I was a little surprised to hear that the numbers were down, because I just think the NBA is in terms of its overall popularity is cruising at a high.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's just so many compelling storylines, Tim. Do you think there's this hyper focus? Kyrie Irving talked about it. You know, how the media has broken up locker rooms. Are they being a little too sensitive in your estimation?
No, I think that there is a little bit. You know, I think I said this before to Guru Ryan. If you were obviously detained somewhere else, but I think what's happening now is that there's a whole chunk of media who cover the NBA who are more interested in assembling fantasy, what I call fantasy teams, than they are in trying to figure out, hey, this guy talked to that guy and his agent talked to this guy, and they're more interested in that than they are in covering games.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, we the whole process, this whole deal is about winning and losing. You know, this is about winning. It's about fighting for a championship. And I think we've lost a little sense of that because of all the player movement. Now, that's great for the game, and it's great, and I love it. And nobody kills a summer like the NBA. I mean, it's just been crazy the last few years. And it's just great. But on the other hand, I think, you know, when you're talking about a guy moving, you know, to another team 3 years down the road, and we still have half of a season to play, That's a little much for me. I think, you know, why don't we play this season out and see what happens this summer?
Can't we just live in the here and now? And yes, Tim, I have been set free on 95.7 The Game, and I couldn't be happier about it. Tim Murray will be on the call tomorrow, tip-off 7:30. Pre-game coverage with JD and Guru starts at 6 o'clock right here on your home for the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game. Tim, appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
See, you're just like everybody else, a free agent just looking for greener pastures.
Better believe it, Tim Roy. God bless you. That's my guy right there. Tim Roy, of course, will be on the call. It's so funny. His producer, R.C. Davis, never
RC's
watches anything in real time.
Yeah, no.
It's all about the DVR.
Oh, he's told me, don't ever say anything.
I mean, remember yesterday, I could say it today, but I didn't want anybody to spoil it yesterday. I was trying not to hear the Liverpool score. It was a scoreless draw anyway, so great. I wanted to get to this, and we're going to talk a little baseball coming up. John Heyman tweeted out the Giants are telling people they're trying hard for Harper.
Uh-oh.
This likely debunks the short-term theory for them, as it's known Harper isn't signing a short-term deal. However, people who have spoken to SF Brass say they aren't necessarily overly optimistic. But this tweet, gaining a lot of traction. We're looking for news. And guess who's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, Guru?
Bryce Harper.
No, John Heyman.
Okay, gotcha.
John Heyman is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. No, that would be a showstopper to say the least. But no, we'll get the latest from John Heyman as Bryce Watch 2019 rolls on. It's 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey with the Guru.
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I'm not checking myself, Guru. I'm not. I'm going to be me.
I love Q, but he took this beat.
Yeah, it's old school.
All right, that's all I'm saying.
Like Sugar Hill Gang or something? I don't know. But, yeah, he did. But isn't that what everybody does?
It wasn't Sugar Hill Gang. Is
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
I'm trying. All right. I'm trying to keep pace here.
I want the text line to go in on me.
I know, right? Yeah, you don't want to say something. God forbid. Tell people I'm going a million miles an hour in here. If I get something wrong, don't at me, bro. If it's an everyday thing, you know, that's something else. It is 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Love hearing from Tim Roy, man. And nice to hear his pipes get back in action tomorrow night.
Got it.
Yeah, dude.
You didn't like it, huh?
Come on. Tim Roy, first of all, he's a great man, okay? But as far as being able to just give it to you on the airwaves, one better. And it's a special time, Warriors fans, and you know,
enjoy it, man.
I feel like I need to make sure that Warriors fans hear that often, because we were talking in the pre-show meeting today. And
I call it the green room.
The green room. Yeah. I like the pen, the bullpen.
Okay.
You know,
getting warm up.
Right, greasing up the pipes, baby. Because the conversations that go on in the hallways here oftentimes are just as heated and just as impassioned as what we
Hill's
get.
Good
of
at
course,
that.
Tater's ready to go, and him and Ratto will roll in at 2:00. You know how we do it over here on 95.7 The Game. What we were talking about, though, and I thought it was so interesting, was because it's essentially a foregone conclusion that the Golden State Warriors are at the very minimum going to be in the Western Conference Finals, and probably more likely going to be in the NBA Finals, and probably more likely they're going to win the NBA title. What about the regular season? Are we just kind of resting on our laurels as fans? Are we as locked in as we should be? Because I've heard the narrative that the Warriors fans, and I've seen it myself, I've said it myself, right, that maybe regular season games, they're not taking as serious. Warriors fans?
They've been spoiled.
Be real. Hold on. Are you guilty of this as well? Are you guilty of, hey, wake me up when the Western Conference Finals get here? Or have you gotten complacent? Have you forgot about Bobby Sura? Have you forgot about
Bimbo Coles?
Yeah, right? Just wherever you want to go with it. Warrior X from
Todd Fuller.
Yeah, thank you. Warrior X from post run TMC, minus like the We Believe run. Any Warrior other than that era? Have we forgotten about that? Are we doing our due diligence as fans, making sure we're as locked in as we need to be on every game? Are we guilty of just kicking back and taking any of this for granted? I would hope not. And I get it. It's familiar to us now, watching the Warriors dominate. It's the expectation. The bar has been set meteorically high. But it also needs to be appreciated and understood that this is not normal. This is not going to last forever. And who cares right now on February 20th if Kevin Durant's leaving? The only thing that should matter to you right now is a freaking three-peat, because that is so special.
Yeah, it should be a four-peat. But
it should be a five-peat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It will be, but that's how I feel.
Okay.
Covey.
But you know what I'm saying?
I'm not a Bull fan. I'm a Jordan fan. And when I see highlights of what he did on the basketball court, I say to myself, where did the time go? How soon we forget. Same thing with the great Kobe Bryant. All those points he scored, how soon we forget. And all that I'm saying is, Warrior fans are going to feel that way when Durant, Clay, and Steph hang it up, if you don't enjoy it and quit taking it for granted. And me personally, Marshawn Lynch, I don't care if they're winning by 80. I got to have the ball dribbling on the hardwood sound on my TV. I have to have ball in front of me, Ryan.
Yeah.
So I do understand the human element of the drama being taken out of it because they're so damn good. But what I'm saying is there's going to be one day Steph Curry is going to be Dwayne Wade,
right,
and Dirk Nowitzki. So I guess what I'm saying is a PSA from the Guru. I went third person. Just enjoy what you're watching, because things like this don't last forever.
Yeah.
Key Sweat.
Well, and if I could invoke, as we segue into our next topic, if I could invoke the San Francisco Giants into this conversation, because think about this. It wasn't that long ago. It was 3 World Series titles in 5 years. Then they had the playoff game against the Cubs. You know, they won the wild card game against the Mets. And it could be happening all over again. And then it all went awry. Right, and what a special run that was. Now, it wasn't anything near where the Warriors are at, but now,
blew it.
Look at the San Francisco Giants and where they're at today. It is a far cry from the team that had a parade in 2014. Now, with the impending news that Bryce Harper still hasn't made up his mind.
You say there's a chance.
And with John Heyman, who's going to join us momentarily, telling the Giants, and this is a tweet that John put out just a few minutes ago at 11:38, so less than an hour ago, and I quote you, Daryl the Guru Johnson, I quote the tweet here, the hashtag SFGiants are telling people that they are trying hard for Harper. This likely debunks the short-term theory for them, as it's known Harper isn't signing a short-term deal. We know that. Manny just got 10 for 300 yesterday, so
wow.
Bryce got to get that at least. However, people who have spoken to SF Brass say they aren't necessarily overly optimistic. And really, why would you be? I would hate to think that the Giants are being used as a pawn in all this, as the other dance partner to show the Phillies, hey, look, I know you guys are scoffing at this, whatever Boris is asking him for, 10 years, $320 million, whatever it is. But hey, the San Francisco Giants, you know, this team that's got all that money out there on the West Coast, just got those Oracle Park naming rights and has, you know, an ownership group that is willing to spend money. Look at what they've got committed on the books for 2020 and beyond. We've got this dance partner over here. You want Bryce, you got to pony up. And I mean, really, what do we know, Guru? All it takes is two teams to get a bidding war jumping off,
yeah,
right?
And Heyman's already reported today on Bleacher, tweeted on Bleacher Report that our boy Bryce Harper's already turned down $300 million offers.
Wow.
A few of them.
Yeah, well, we know about the Nationals.
Wow. So again, it's all about location to me. I'm going ways. It's all about the location.
I think we'll ask John Heyman about this in a moment, but I think it maybe matters less to Bryce where he goes is just about getting paid, and I wonder how much of that is...
But Philly had the money, it sounds like. 10 for 300.
The Nationals could have given him that. That's what I'm saying. To me, it seems like it's about the money for him. He wants more than the 10 years, $300 million.
Okay, right.
Like, Manny Machado got 10 for 3. He's got to outdo Manny Machado.
I was looking at it like the Giants go 10 for 300. Oh, I'm on my way.
I think, personally, that Bryce Harper has it in his head via Scott Boras. You know what? You're better than Manny Machado. You are a more prized asset than Manny Machado. Because let's face it, after the World Series, Manny Machado's stock was down. I'm sure there were a lot less. Right. And he still got 10 for 300. So Bryce Harper's in there thinking, wait a minute. I might not have necessarily had the best year batting average-wise last year. But, hey, I'm still one of the elite superstars in the game.
Look,
both guys
hair.
26. Yeah, look at this hair, baby. I'm stunned out here. Build a franchise around me, both on the field and in the front office, in the PR area. I am the preeminent entity on the free agent market. Manny Machado's got nothing on me. If you're Bryce Harper, you have to sell it that way. So with that in mind, wait, Manny got 10 for 300? Oh, I gotta get 10 for 340.
Dude, pitchers and
330.
Real quick, they've already reported.
Yeah,
spring training's about to start.
You heard Chris Rose. What does it take a hitter? A couple weeks to get locked in.
You
spring training's way too long anyway.
Last year, Bryce.
You think Bryce Harper hasn't been working out this whole time? You think Bryce Harper needs to be around a team in order to get ready to play baseball? No chance.
Bryce Harper 20th. He does not know where he's playing.
They haven't even played a single Cactus or Grapefruit League game yet.
So you ain't tripping on
that. If they start, and even if they start spring training games, if he hasn't signed with the team 2 weeks before opening day, okay, then I could say this is starting to get a little out of pocket. This is starting to get a little crazy. I mean, remember how long it took Jake Arrieta to sign last year?
That was weird. I didn't like it.
It
and
happened,
I didn't care
though.
About the team.
Right.
But that's too long.
He still signed, though. So what does it matter?
Did it
affect the season?
No.
Well, that's why the Cubs wouldn't commit to him long term anyway. It seemed like a bad idea. You could tell that Jake Arrieta was.
Yeah.
I think Jake Arrieta might have had a little help. Might have had a little of that Bacco and a little of that cream and that clear.
He used to look intense.
Yeah.
Dude, he was throwing pitches like Eckersley in the spring. It was unhittable.
Right.
Then He was hittable.
It's amazing. It was kind of that Melky Cabrera, like, whoa,
wow.
Where'd you come from?
Oh, Melky.
Like, where'd you come from?
Pirate minor league system.
Yeah, remember the Milkman down there at AT&T? Yeah,
that went
away quick.
That's amazing.
That went away so quick. And that was 2014, right? Did they give him a ring that year, I wonder? Anyway, we'll talk to John Heyman in just a few minutes. Let me ask you this, and we'll ask John Heyman. Do you think Manny took the easy way out going to the Padres?
No, because he wants to and owes it to himself and his family or whoever to get that big money. And
what
he can
he
look at the
elsewhere?
Padres, and they could sell him on the presentation of Tatis and all, you know, the young Hosmer and all the young talent they got. And I'm in California. I've been in Baltimore.
Right.
I ain't won nothing. Real quick, I'm all over. I didn't like what he said about the hustle and when it came out.
Of course, it was a horrible look.
You get rewarded. The individual gets rewarded with 10 for 300.
So if you're Bryce Harper, can't you use that as a sticking point? Like this guy basically said he doesn't even leg out fly balls. Now, keep in mind, Bryce Harper's the same guy who got choked out in a dugout by a teammate because he wasn't legging out fly balls.
Dude, your boy Papa Ball was a big boy. They went toe-to-toe.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, fine. Yeah. A teammate felt compelled. Hold on. A teammate felt compelled to put hands on him for not playing the game the right way. Okay?
Well, who's Papelbon to say?
I'm not saying it was right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying it happened.
He didn't like it.
Okay?
I was Team Bryce on that. I didn't like that. That's something that happened.
Okay? Look, there's a lot of players around Major League Baseball who don't have anything close to that on their resume. Why? Because it could never be questioned whether or not. You think anybody's ever come at Hunter Pence and said, why aren't you legging that out? Right? No, because Hunter Pence leaves a lot on the field every day, and you know what you get then? You get the benefit of the doubt from the fan base. That's why Bryce Harper is kind of polarizing.
But he lasted a long time in Washington, and he's choosing to leave on his terms because he doesn't want to be around.
My point is,
Papelbon was jealous.
I'm not backing Papelbon. You're mishearing what I'm saying. I'm not backing Papelbon in the slightest. My point is, there's only a handful of players in Major League Baseball that have even ever been accused of not playing the game the right way, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent.
So if I ask you, does
Bryce Harper has that on his resume?
Is he Pete Rose? You would say you wouldn't say he slacks.
No, I wouldn't say he's Pete Rose though. But I wouldn't. I think Papelbon was out of pocket. All right. Very pleased to be joined by John Heyman on 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Of course, we're out here in San Francisco, John, and we got your tweet. Giants not necessarily overly optimistic, but you're telling me there's a chance.
Yes, there is. There's only five teams, and we'd have to say the Padres and the White Sox are probably long shots at this point. The Padres have already spent $300 million. The White Sox seem to be more focused on the Machado for whatever reason, probably the price. So there's really three teams that look like they have a decent chance. So, you know, if they're one of the three teams, that's probably good news. But as I said, I think that they feel they're probably not the favorite at this point. Most people kind of figure the Phillies are the favorite, and they've been that team probably since the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah, John, every minute that goes by and Bryce remains unsigned, I'm like, maybe he can be a Giant. Can you share with us how different you would look at the 2019 Giants with Bryce Harper in this lineup as opposed to without him?
Well, they'd certainly be a more exciting team with him. I wouldn't anticipate they'd be a contender in 2019. I think they're in a transitional period. It'll probably last 2 years, but then you have Harper. If you sign him, it's going to be at least 10 years, probably 10 years, but you never know. Could be more. So, there are opt-outs, of course, in those two, but you're going to have them for more than those 2 years. So, I think it's a very exciting move if they do it. The Giants have been kind of a big game hunter. They went for Stanton, as we know, they had Barry Bonds for a long, long time, 93 through 08. So they're not averse to going out and trying to get the superstar player.
Talking to John Heyman on 95.7 The Game, Ryan Covey, Daryl the Guru Johnson, of course, insider at MLB Network, one of the preeminent voices covering baseball in the world of sports. John, we know that Scott Boras wants to do everything in his power, of course, to get his client the most amount of money and get a bidding war going on is the way to accomplish that end. Are the Giants being used as pawns in all of this, in your estimation, on any level?
You know, I wouldn't say that. I certainly don't know that. I don't know that he has an obvious first choice here. My belief is that Bryce Harper If he, all things being equal, probably would have gone to the Yankees. I think he's a Yankee fan, loves the idea of the big city. So I think Yankees, Cubs with his friend, Chris Bryant.
Sure.
And the Red Sox, which, of course, they are pretty much full in the outfield with pretty great outfielders, so that was never going to happen. But, I think that San Francisco's got pluses, and it's got some minuses. The pluses would be a West Coast. He is from Las Vegas, a great city, great atmosphere, historically excellent team, already got a big star in Buster Posey, so there are some definite pluses. The negative, I think, is the ballpark in terms of the dimensions. Obviously, it's a great fan experience, but it's not a great lefty slugger experience unless you're Barry Bonds. So,
yeah.
I think he's got to weigh a lot of things, and I can't necessarily say that, he's definitely going to the Phillies, but I would think that they're probably the favorite. They declared early on this winter they had stupid money. They did not get Machado. There's a little more pressure on them to come up with Harper. They obviously do have the money to do it, whether it's stupid money or smart money, whatever you think. So, I think the Phillies are the favorite. But, if the Giants are the second or third most likely at this point out of five, we're still talking probably a 20% chance.
Right.
John, my partner and I were going back. Who's the better ball player at this point? We saw Machado get his money and Harper still waiting on his. Who do you think offers the most as a complete ball player?
I would say that Harper is the better hitter. I would say all around, Machado may get a slight edge as a ball player, which is why when I conducted a survey late in the season of who would get more, and I talked to 18 GMs, 12 of the 18 said that Machado would get more. But
wow.
If you survey the owners, I think it would be an easy win for Harper because of the value he brings in terms of the cachet, the Q rating. He is a star, and, I think that's what Scott Boras is selling teams on now, beyond the fact that he's a 26-year-old guy with great power, who's an excellent all-around hitter. I think it's the fact that he's going to say that he brings fans, he brings attention, all positive, at least that's what he'll say.
Yeah.
And, I think that's the reason that he is going to get more money. As I tweeted earlier, he's already had a couple offers for more than $300 million that he hasn't at least accepted to this point.
Yeah, and great power, John, and great hair as well. And, like, to your point, that's kind of the allure from the marketability side of things. A couple more moments here with John Heyman. Terrific follow for baseball fans at John Heyman, J-O-N Heyman, on Twitter. And, of course, we're keeping an eye on all things Bryce Harper related. I wanted to hit on that tweet you just mentioned. Now, we're talking multiple offers of over $300 million. I mean, where do you see where is the Scott Boras wish list line drawn? I mean, are we talking 350? I mean, what, 10 years, 350? I mean, how high is he trying to go?
Well, I would have said 2 or 3 weeks ago that he'd probably get over 300. He was offered 300 at the end of the season, as we know, September 26th, last home game by the incumbent Nats. He did not take that deal. So I would have said he would nudge over 300. At this point, I would say there's a decent chance that he'll get past the Giancarlo Stanton record of $325 million. If I had to bet one way or the other, I'd say he gets past that 325. I'm not going to bet that he gets past 350, but you can't put anything past him. At this point, you've got one superstar player, and you've got five potential teams, counting the Padres and the White Sox. We will see if they stay in it. They're in contact now, but they may drop out, and we may have three teams. That's still enough to get a bidding war going.
John, I may sound a bit old school. You let me know with this take, but I'm kind of disappointed in baseball for the simple fact that it's taken so long for two of its biggest stars to be signed. And if you look at the NBA and NFL, they're free agents, don't even last 48 hours. am I wrong to look at baseball and think it's a bad look that pitchers and catchers are reporting and these guys haven't been signed as up until yesterday?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think it would have been nice to have them ready to go when camps opened. It's in a way nice that we have all this intrigue, but it went a little too far, I think, the last 2 years. Last year, J.D. Martinez took until February 28th for the Red Sox. Turned out to be well worth it for them. I believe it was a little over $100 million, $110 million with a bunch of opt-outs. And then Arrieta didn't sign until March 12th with the same Phillies for the $75 million for three. He didn't probably perform quite to that level in his first year in Philadelphia. But They did get him on a 3-year deal, not a really long deal. So, I'm kind of with you. I think it'd be better if it didn't take this long for the big stars. And I'm not going to feel sorry for these two guys who are getting $300 million plus.
Sure.
The shame of it, I think, is that we have great players like Adam Jones, who hasn't picked a team, Keuchel, Kimbrel. We still have some really good players out there.
Yeah, 100%. John, let me ask you this. With the Machado news yesterday, and you look at the San Diego Padres, and they're shoving all in. They already had Hosmer and Myers, and then, of course, you know, you add Manny Machado, and then you got those prospects with Tatis and Urias. Do you think that the Padres could potentially contend this year with the likes of an L.A. Dodgers, who, of course, have won two straight pennants?
I think it's going to be tough this year. I think they're building for the future. They look really good going forward with Gore, Mackenzie Gore, with Paddock. They have some really excellent pitching prospects. But, I think they're at least certainly a year away. They were shooting for 2020. I still kind of think 2020 would be the best for them in terms of contention.
Did Machado take the easy way out at all for you going to San Diego? As far as like the market,
the
expectation?
Deal. That's what guys do. Cano did it. Pujols did it. I mean, that's the way of the world,
wow.
You know?
Yeah. All right, appreciate it. Hey, John, thanks so much for your time. And, of course, we'll be following you at John Heyman on Twitter. And let's go ahead and break Bryce Harper to the Giants, okay?
There we
Can we
go.
Do that? Can we do that?
Yeah, let's do that. Fine with me. Let's get it over with.
Awesome. Yeah, he just wants to get it over with. All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate your time, man. Good stuff from John Heyman on 95.7 The Game. And shout out John Curley for taking care of that for us and getting him kind of at the 11th hour there. If you're just joining us, John Heyman tweeted out about an hour ago that the Giants are telling people they're trying hard for Harper. And, hey, if you ain't, you got to try, right? Give it the old college try.
And I'm one of those. I'm a romantic.
Yeah, I know. You're dapping them up
so
for giving it their due. That's it. So this likely debunks the short-term theory for them, because we know Farhan Zaidi's taking a pragmatic approach to this and probably isn't overly enthralled about giving a guy a 10-year deal. But guys like Bryce Harper, this stuff doesn't come around very often. A guy that could be a cornerstone face of your franchise. And you're hoping that even if you're not competing in 2019 and 2020, the hope is that some point over a 10-year deal, a guy like Bryce Harper could be a difference maker for you.
Yeah, and the face of the franchise, which... they got older faces now, you know, so it's time
experience
to pass
faces.
The baton and bring in Bryce, and there would be a buzz in the Bay.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
once that, happen, Covey?
Once that Warriors parade wraps up
I'll
and they sweep up
you.
The confetti, then it's going to be like, so when are the 49ers getting jumping off? How's Jimmy G's ACL taken care of? By the way, the vibrant Gianfranco in the room next to me. First of all, good afternoon.
Hi.
This news today that the Giants still might be in it. Where do you come down on this as far as if it's going to be the Giants, are you willing to wait a few more weeks, or is it just kind of like pulling off a Band-Aid? Let's just get this bad boy over with.
Let's just get this bad boy over with. I think we've waited long enough, don't you think?
Yeah, I know,
right?
We've waited long enough.
I do like the news, though, about John Heyman saying they're making a push. It always reminds me of that quote from Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
Hopefully.
Scary.
Fingers crossed. I think it'd be good for the Giants.
Gianfranco in the house. What's going on in the world of sports?
Now, back to Warriors Wednesday on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. And Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Here's Steinmetz and Guru.
Judge Reinhold's got a sweet duster on right about now, pulling a couple shotties out of the trunk. Little Beverly Hills Cop for you. What's happening, everybody? Ryan Covey sitting in for Matt Steinmetz. Steinie will be back tomorrow. Fear not. Steiny and Guru fans, one half of your favorite tandem will be back tomorrow. I'll be hanging out for the rest of the day with, dare I say now, my good friend Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Oh, no. Come on.
You're fam now.
Look at fam. F-A-M.
Right? Bring it in. Hey, good stuff from John Heyman. I want to ask you this, Giants fans, because it's as excited as we are about the potential. I still have that baseline fade out. I love it. As excited as we are about the potential of Bryce Harper being willing to come to San Francisco and the San Francisco Giants front office doing everything in their power? Because let's face it, he's a free agent. The only thing that costs is money. So I don't hear this notion about it's a bad move. Why is it ever bad to bring in a star player in their prime when all it costs you is money? They don't have to give up picks. They don't have to give up players. Just straight up cash, which don't let them fool you for a half
straight
a second.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie, and they've got it. Okay, so I summarily reject the notion outright that this isn't a prudent course of action. I don't care if it burns them in 5 years. They can afford it. My point is, if this does not happen for the San Francisco Giants, knowing that they were in on it, how hard is that fall going to be for you, Guru? Is it going to hurt you more? And will you, in a sense, vilify Bryce Harper? What say you at 957-95 or 888-957-9570?
No. If I'm a Giant fan, hell yeah, I want him. And I love the fact that my front office didn't look at the state of the franchise and say, we're not worthy. You know, if you go get him, you go get him. And they tried to go get him. And from all reports, John Heyman, it looks like they're still trying to make a bid or a play for him. They tried to make a play for Stanton. Damn it, that's all you can do. And does Bryce Harper need the Giants to up his value? So I'm not buying that, Covey.
What do you
mean? Would I be you know, like they're using the Giants as a pawn.
Okay.
A Boris. He may be trying to. But the bottom line is Harper is at the top of baseball. And he's going to get his money from who? We hope the Giants. But as a fan of the Gigantes, I'm already, you've tickled my fancy by just being in on the sweepstakes.
Yeah, and that's really...
Oh, you didn't get him or Stanton.
That's really all you can ask as a fan, because free agents, if you're not going to vilify Kevin Durant for coming to the Dubs and leaving Oklahoma City, then you can't vilify Bryce Harper for not choosing to come here. It's free to choose where they want to play next. As a player, as a professional athlete, he's played out his contract and he's earned the right to go where he chooses. All you can hope for as a fan base is to have an ownership group that's willing to pony up the scratch, that says we're at the big boy table, and make no mistake about it, I don't care about resetting luxury taxes, all that malarkey. The Giants are there. They belong at that table, and that's the cost of doing business, okay? All you can ask is that your team is trying to do it, and then all you can hope, your job as a fan, is to show up and the Giants, to their credit, they've given the baseball fans in the Bay Area a beautiful facility. We've got one of the best parks in all of baseball.
I would
overpay. Watch a play.
I would overpay.
So that's. But my point is, all you have to do is take care of your business, handle your side of things, and as long as you're given every ounce of what you have as far as financial means, et cetera, if you're all in on Bryce, then what else can you ask for as a fan?
Yeah, the hope that he picks you. And we talked about it. You can ask a girl to dance.
She chose up,
yeah,
right?
That's it.
Shoot your shot. Yep. And that's what the San Francisco Giants are trying to do right now. I wonder what Scott Boras is truly asking for. I mean, are we talking, does this dude want like a 12-year deal? I mean, where does it stop?
Hit 249. I know I'm just a
you're
couple
right.
of years.
You're right.
Dude, this dude is not Mike Trout. He don't got Mike Trout numbers on the ledger of consistency.
Okay, and to that end, just I went and did a little bit of research.
Okay. It's always good.
Right. Bryce Harper, it's because I was looking for comparable players, okay? And I shared this the other day, but I think it's worth revisiting. Bryce Harper has played 927 games in his career.
All right.
Ken Griffey played 917 games, his first 917 in Seattle. The home runs, Griffey only had 5 more. The RBIs, Griffey had about 60 more. OPS, 915 for Griffey, 900 for Harper. Not too much to separate there. Doubles are close. It's 201 to 183. Harper has more runs. He scored 40 more runs. Has a higher on-base percentage. Slugging is 536 to 512 in favor of Griffey. And Harper's been walked 160 more times. And that's a sample size of 10 more games. Barry Bonds in Pittsburgh, 1,010 games. Harper's got more home runs. RBIs are close. Harper's got a higher OPS than Barry Bonds did when he was in Pittsburgh, before maybe he had a little help along the way, shall we say. Harper, the doubles, Bonds got him there, but Harper's got him in walks. He's got him in slugging percentage, 512 to 503. Harper's got him in on-base percentage, 388 to 380. Bryce Harper is essentially what Barry Bonds was as a Pirate, or what Ken Griffey Jr. was before all the injuries in the time in Cincinnati.
Sign me up. I want him.
I mean, come on.
And Barry's got him in MVPs. You know, Barry got a
sure.
couple. But I know what you mean.
How many MVPs was he winning in Pittsburgh?
2.
Okay, all right, okay, fair enough. But doesn't Harper got an MVP?
Yeah, 1.
Okay, so 2-1.
Yeah,
oh, my God. The guy's a freaking former MVP, for God's sake. I mean, what more do you need to know, people? And let me ask you this.
I'd overpay, man.
And I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Al Pacino.
Okay, so No, I don't want Bryce Harper because of X, Y, and Z as far as the production. Well, who the hell is good enough for you on the free agent market? If a 26-year-old
rebuild
bona fide superstar isn't enough to tickle your fancy as a sports fan, then who is good enough for you? What, do you need Willie Mays?
And that's why if you're Farhan, you overpay. I would overpay for this item, this high-ticket item. It's not just about on the field. It's about putting some energy into this fan base, the future, the hope. You know, Covey, the churches are filled every Sunday because people need hope.
Now we're at the pulpit.
No, I'm just, yeah, we need it.
All right.
Because if they don't land them, I'm going to get, I got tickets right behind third base. This could literally happen. Oh, I'll pass.
Yeah.
If they don't get Harper, that's what you're looking at right now.
If you're
now
on the third base side, though, you can see Evan Longoria for the 65 games he's going to play before he goes on the DL.
Hopefully 85.
hopefully maybe we'll get into triple digits for Evan Longoria.
Guru, stop being a super fan and start thinking reality.
Come on, Guru, live in the here and now.
Their core team, that's my dad's verbiage, their core team, Bryce Harper now.
Yeah.
They believe that he should be in the orange and black. What am I missing?
And I think, from Farhan Zaidi's perspective, he would have rather this be the offseason of 2020 that a player like this became available, because I think Farhan would really like to assess this roster as it's currently constructed, bring in some filler pieces like your Paras, et cetera, some of the moves.
Which they did.
Some of the moves that they've made, your Cameron Maybins, some of those moves just to fill some slots, basically chew up some at-bats, take some innings, and use at least the first half of this season for like a real-time evaluation, not looking at paper and looking at previous stats. Get your own eyes on it and see what this team can do for the first half, because he has a big-time decision to make about Madison Bumgarner. And I think that decision is ultimately going to a lot to do with that's going to be, A, if they're able to get Bryce Harper, which signals that they're going to be able to maybe contend a little sooner than we'd hope.
All right.
And B, what track are we going to take? What path are we going to walk down? Because what they do with Madison Bumgarner is going to tell you a lot as a Giants fan about which route they're really going.
He's a white flag. If they trade him, then this season's down the drain and they feel like they can't compete, or they're 20 games out by the All-Star break.
Right, and how they handle Bumgarner is going to be indicative to me of
like, what do you
the
mean,
direction.
Handle, like?
Hold on, I'll tell you. Mm. So it's going to be indicative to me of the direction that they're willing to go, that they're trying to go. And my point is, if you go long-term with Madison Bumgarner and you keep him here a Giant, you're basically saying we're willing to sign free agents that are a little bit older. We're willing to go that route, and we're hoping to compete now. Like, you don't sign Madison Bumgarner, who's an aging pitcher, to a five-year contract if you're not planning on trying to win a World Series like now.
Okay, gotcha.
To the best of your abilities. The Bryce Harper thing to me doesn't necessarily signify that, because the deal's so long anyway that if you're not as competitive as you'd like to be this year or next year, that's cool. He's going to be here in 2023, 2025, 2027. So in that respect, you would hope that you're going to compete in the next decade. But the Bumgarner thing will signify to me which direction they're heading more so, because if they don't re-sign him, then it's okay, it's probably looking like more of a long-term rebuild, because they just understand that, look, this collection's not going to work. We're going to have to probably sell some of these guys for pennies on the dollar. You know, your Brandon Belt, it's your Joe Panics, your Evan Longorias, and you're just going to have to take the L on that one financially, what you get in return, and then you just got to hope you build up your farm system. Only having two prospects in the top 100, not going to cut it, baby.
Yeah, it's not. And I love Mad Bum just as much as the next person. But at the end of the day, if you were to re-sign him, it would be like re-signing Longoria, because I can look you in the face now and tell you his best days are behind him. Now, could he go to a contender, the Dodgers, Astros, Red Sox, Yankees, and be filthy in the offseason or the next year to come? Yes, but for what you need him for, I just feel like it's time to, and we'll see it. So, hey, thank you for what you've done, your services, but we're going a different direction. Now, Harper comes in, rejuvenates everybody. Right. They're four games out.
Bochy's last ride.
All of it. Then we got to talk. And he's going to remain a Giant. And it's a poker now. You're all in.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm eager to see what's going to happen. But I believe the standings is a big part of their decision on what they're going to do with Mad Bum. And we see it all the time in baseball.
Let me ask you this at 95795. It's Ryan Covey and Daryl DeGuru Johnson. And you can weigh in if you'd like at 888-957-9570. Do you think the Giants, the way that this roster is set up right now, are they in a position where signing a guy like Bryce Harper is the right course of action? See, I think on a 10-year deal, it's always the right time to bring in a player like Bryce Harper. And more to the point, if you're trying, the ultimate goal in any sports, in any sport, in any game is what?
To win the
championship. You want to win,
yeah.
Right? And ultimately, you want to win championships. But the idea is to win. You need to win enough regular season games to qualify for the tournament to win a title, okay? So if the ultimate objective is winning, I don't care if you would take a couple of years. Putting Bryce Harper in right field for the next decade, a cornerstone piece of your franchise, that sets you up so much better to win than let's sit around and wait for this prospect who may or may not pan out. I get it. Financially, it costs more. But guess what? You've got the money. I don't want to hear about the money. They have the money. That's the cut. Why are you in the business of Major League Baseball? Don't claim to be a big market team then if you're not actually able to sign players of his caliber.
I like that. And also, too, to your point, they got the money. We know they have the money. If they don't land Bryce, I would like to hear that the Giants tried to overpay for him. I didn't state that earlier, but as a Giant, that would make me feel like, hey, they went all the way in as opposed to, you know, can we get you on a hometown discount? And the fact that the reports are there's not going to be anything short, I didn't like that when I first heard it. I'm like, why would he do that, Bryce? Because he knows it may take a minute before they're able to compete, right. Or he may be looking at it, as long as I show up, we can make it happen. It's kind of unrealistic.
You want to re-sign Madison Bumgarner?
If they get Bryce Harper, yes, I do.
Okay.
But if not, you got to go.
Okay. It's all hinging on whether or not they get Bryce Harper, because that'll be kind of a line in the sand moment for you about where the direction that they're headed under Farhan Zaidi. 408 said, Guru, did you watch the 2014 playoffs? Mad Bum is worth the money.
He's been on a cheap.
Thank you. That's it.
That may be the greatest playoff run I've ever seen from a pitcher.
Sure.
But it's 5 years ago.
He single-handedly brought you a World Series trophy. I don't think there's any way around it. And it's it's no disrespect. See, this is the thing. People get so emotional about this stuff. It's not a slight to Madison Bumgarner if you don't want to offer a pitcher who's going to be on the wrong side of 30 a long-term deal.
Nobody's saying it.
Right. Especially a team like the Giants who you got your Aaron Rowans, your Aubrey Huffs, your Barry Zitos, your Matt Cain, your Tim Lincecum. No, I'm saying guys that they've paid big money to, and it's kind of bit them in the rear end. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Let's go out to Drop of the Hat, Matt, in San Francisco, and let's talk about Mad Bum and Bryce Harper. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, hi, Ryan. Hi, Derek DeGuru. How y'all doing?
Great.
I'm the one that almost hit Bruce Bochy.
Cool, man.
Calling yesterday?
Yeah, fire away.
Well, look, in 2014, at the halfway mark, the Giants, they had a great start that year, and they start slumping right before the halfway mark. And I picked up Mad Bum in my car, my Uber car. I was doing the Uber, right? And I picked him up. And I told him that he was going to be the MVP of the World Series. That's the same year. So I think Mad Bum is really worth the money. If we could sign Harper, right, and we compete, since this is Bruce Bochy last year, I think all the Giants going to try their best to try to do it for him. So I think you sign Harper, you go all out. If you don't, you can always sell. You know what I mean?
So, okay. Thanks, man.
I think they got to gamble.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. And see, that's the thing. Desperation is a very unattractive quality, Daryl and Guru Johnson.
Yeah,
and
there.
The Giants, in a lot of ways, they're looking a little bit desperate right now.
Okay.
Because I think most people around Major League Baseball understand that when you have a new president of baseball operations and Farhan Zaidi, and you've had the fifth lowest winning percentage in Major League Baseball, and you've got a bunch of aging veterans and a bunch of bad contracts, if ever a team needed the like extreme home makeover MLB edition, it's the San Francisco Giants. So in a lot of ways, to go out and get a guy like Harper, it would be putting the cart in front of the horse. I tend to reject that simply because, as I stated before, 10 years is so long that he's just going to have to sit through a couple of years. It's really a matter of, hey, Bryce, are you willing to stick through this if we aren't good for a couple of years? Whereas a lot of these other teams, you know, the Phillies are hoping to contend like now. Okay. I think the Nationals window's probably closed a bit, but I mean, you think about it. The Giants aren't exactly positioned well to win in 2019, even with Bryce Harper. It would be more exciting. It'd be more interesting, but there's a whole hell of a lot of other things that need to go right. He's just one man. And even Will Clark said, if the rest of that lineup's not hitting, Bryce Harper just won't get any pitches to hit.
Yeah. And we talked about there is no guarantee also though, Covey, in trust the process. And you don't know if a player of Harper's caliber is going to come around again. So strike now. I know it's about the future, but if he's ready to come here and knows what it takes, it might take a season or two, and he's going to be the cornerstone for the next 6 to 7 years. I'm all for it. And Ryan, that must be the thought process of the front office. Yeah. They're not wasting their time, and they damn sure not trying to waste Bryce's time. They feel like there's a plan. They got to have a plan in-house to where if they land him, a lot of decisions would go a different way predicated on them landing him.
For sure.
And that's exciting to me.
You're
and
right.
And if they don't get him, same, all that on the table too.
Right. And, you know, and I think Farhan needs to have, and I'm sure he does because that's his job, have a backup plan in place too. Like if this Harper thing doesn't go their way, because I think the Phillies are still the favorite to land him.
Okay.
And ultimately, I do think he'll go to the Phillies. But just the fact that they're in the conversation as long as nice.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.